Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. My name is Dan Schaefer, and I am your guest host this afternoon on the Civic Media Network. Thank you so much for joining us for the first hour of the show, and now we are getting into the second hour of the show, and we're jumping off right off the top here with a guest from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Nick Ramos is joining us in studio. Nick, thanks so much for being here.
Dan, I'm glad you guys could fit me in, man. I'm sorry that I came a little late, but traffic had me backed up, unfortunately.
Yeah, it is what it is, but you made it anyway. Hey. Harrowing traffic from Madison aside, thank you for joining us. Glad you could be here. We were talking a little bit before the break there in the first hour of the show on a topic that you've been doing some work on them with the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign lately, which is the two constitutional amendments that are going to be on the August 13th ballot. So what's the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign's position on those questions?
Well, I'm glad you guys are talking about it because it's one of those things that we saw a couple of amendments in April, and we wanted to make sure that people far and wide knew about those. And so it feels like this time around, it feels as though everybody's paying attention. And with the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, we want people to vote no on both of the constitutional amendments that are going to appear on the August 13th ballot. And I'm sure the people are already wary and know about it, but you know, it really is, it comes down to who gets to decide how we spend money. And then the second question really specifically gets into the federal money and who has that power. And the governor, there's no red tape, and it's a lot easier to keep one person accountable than 132 people accountable versus, I think, you know, and I'm sure the listeners, if you're listening, you're very wise because Civic Media is the best radio in all of Wisconsin. And I would even go so far as the U.S. But here in the legislature gavels in, gavels out a ton. And we want people, especially when things are really time sensitive, to be able to get money flowing. And we don't need more power grabs, and we don't need more red tape in the state.
Yeah, one of the callers that we had in the first half of the show was talking about that and just saying that this is a pro gridlock amendment ultimately, because it puts another step in between the governor and governing. And you know, we elect a governor every 4 years for a reason. And I think in those emergency type situations, we saw it in 2020, having the ability to get things done, you know, unimpeded by the gridlock that is so often the case in divided government in Madison. I think that's a really important thing. And I think taking that power away from the governor, it seems like kind of the last gasp of the gerrymandered Republican legislature, just trying to get, you know, they did it in April. They're doing it again here for the August election. It just seems like they're trying to continue to consolidate as much power as they can while they can.
Right on. I mean, it's almost as if you're in my brain just saying these things, because that's spot on. And I want people to stop thinking in the here and the now and think about the future ramifications of such a thing. Because, I mean, I think everybody's so fixated on, okay, we have Tony Evers as our current governor. But if the shoe were on the other foot and we had a Republican in the governor's office, would you want to hamstring that governor? Like, I think regardless of political party, this is bad. This is bad public policy. The governor, like Dikembe Mutombo, swatted this when you tried to put it on his desk the first time. And the legislature, as you correctly said, as a final gasp, because they know fair maps are coming here later this fall, are going around the governor's veto pen and trying to get to the voters through this binding referendum. And it's just comical at this point that you do it in a very typically low voter turnout election. Mm-hmm. And you do it with language that is so confusing that me, I've been an attorney for 7 years. I get to deal with all types of wonky people that, you know, are the wonkiest of the wonk and super intelligent. And they read this thing and they're like, they're going cross-eyed trying to explain it back to me. And so then you're going to ask regular everyday Wisconsinites who aren't in this bubble, that aren't paying attention to politics and have their thumb on the needle every day, and we're encouraging them to go vote. And it's so important because it will impact their lives, and they deserve a seat at the table at the end of the day. So at the end of the day, people like are paying attention, and it's great that platforms like this and other people are stepping up and are educating people about what this actually is and really trying to push back against all these bad narratives, because we should not be letting the legislature legislate through the constitutional amendment process. There's a reason. They're creating problems that don't exist, and we should be fixing problems with the Constitution, not creating them.
We're talking with Nick Ramos from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. He's weighing in on what that organization's position is on those two constitutional amendments that are going to be on the August 13th ballot. That early voting for that election starts tomorrow. And you guys also have an event going on tomorrow in Milwaukee. Tell us a little bit about what's going on there.
Oh, I'm so excited. That's why I'm wearing the vintage Brewers 90s. I don't know what to really call this. I mean, if you're seeing me at home, this is like a champion long sleeve sweater of some sorts.
You've got the great 90s Brewers logo. Not the M and the B that everybody knows that they kind of went back to recently. You've got the old school 90s Brewers
this
logo.
This is Richie Sexson days. This is
Jeff Jenkins in the house.
Right. I grew up looking at these guys, and I was in Ohio. Tuesday at MATC, downtown Milwaukee, from 10 to 3 p.m., we are going to be inviting people from the community, both volunteers, but just regular everyday people. It's an opportunity to not only early vote, because it is the start of early vote, and there's going to be opportunities for people if you need a ride or if you need ID assistance and you want to be able to go vote. We're going to have people on hand to be able to assist you, and you can literally make it as seamless as possible to go vote. And then if you're interested in educating people about the amendments, we're going to have tactics throughout the day, things like letter writing, text banking, phone banking. We've got Wave Chappelle, who is an up-and-coming Northside Milwaukee rapper, and he is amazing. And I'm so, so honored to have him be there tomorrow in the afternoon. But we've got so many amazing partners, Souls to the Polls, League of Women Voters. I mean, the list goes on. We all take this very seriously. We want to mobilize the community. We're going to celebrate but also educate, and we want people to understand the ramifications that every election does matter. Even That's right. if you're looking at August and everybody's looking at the presidential, and now, you know, it's interesting with, you know, our vice president running as the presidential nominee on the Democrat side. You have former President Trump running on the Republican side. Everybody wants to think about the biggest office. But here at the local level, we have a lot of big things that are happening. And so it's just a full day. We're going to march in the morning after a press conference to go up to early vote and have a little program and just talk about just the significance of this thing. But the amendments, they are so critical to our future here. And we need to be able to nip these things in the bud when they happen. And so I'm inviting everybody, my closest friends, family, neighbors, anybody. If you are anywhere near Milwaukee, you want to either A, encourage people to come out and vote for the August 13th election, or B, you want to be around people and spend time and learn something and maybe, you know, take that and run with it and plant that seed, please. I mean, MATC downtown, 10 a.m., 3 p.m., Milwaukee. We're going to be there. We're going to be full of energy. I'll have music, and we got live music, and it's going to be a lot of swag and a lot of giveaways and a lot of resources there.
Well, it's a great event, and I think it's terrific what you're all doing. I think, you know, like you mentioned, a lot of the other organizations that are involved in this, and there it's a lot of the types of organizations, like you said, Souls to the Polls, League of Women's Voters, Power to the Polls. These are the types of organizations that recognize that every election matters so much. And you can't take any off here, especially in Wisconsin,
no.
because you cannot take any plays off in Wisconsin. You always got to keep your eye on the ball. And you talked about it a little bit in that, you know, just the turnout that is expected for an August primary. In a piece we ran at the Recombobulation Area, Phil Rocco wrote that in 2022, just 27% of voters participated in the state's August primary, which was a 40-year high. So if you don't want those decisions about the future of our state, about the state constitution, to be made by someone other than you, you want to be part of the process. You want to have your say in this. So I think this is a really, you know, important event that you're holding tomorrow in Wisconsin. These next couple of weeks before that August primary are going to be a really important stretch here, you know, just for the future of the state. And I think, you know, we're starting, like you said, we're starting to hear a lot more people talking about these now that, you know, of course, there's a lot of attention being paid on Kamala Harris right now, on the presidential campaign, on who she might select as a VP. A lot of conversation going on around there, but that you, it's always so important to recognize that you can absolutely make an impact on the local level, on your statewide offices, on you know, you might have a partisan primary in a Senate or Assembly district in this ballot. We've got a couple candidates who are on the ballot there that we'll be talking to today as well. So I think it's great what you're doing here, and I encourage those of you who are in and around Milwaukee to head downtown. It might be a little bit easier to get downtown than it was a couple weeks ago.
You don't say.
When the RNC was in town. Maybe a little bit more free flowing amount of people in and around our wonderful city there. So Nick, thank you so much for joining us. Any other final thoughts before we let you go here?
Hey, you get to early vote tomorrow. You got 2 weeks after that until Election Day. It's too important not to just tell people, check your registration. If you're not registered after tomorrow, you can still go in early person. You can go in person, early vote, get registered on the spot. And you can do that up until August 10th. And then August 13th is Election Day, and that's game day. And we cannot be asleep, guys. Vote no. Vote no on both. Look at the bottom of the ballot. Flip your ballot over. Find those questions. Vote no.
Nick Ramos of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, thank you so much for joining us. We've got a whole lot more planned for you after the break in the rest of the show, so do stick with us. I'm Dan Schaefer, filling in for Maggie Dawn on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Network. Stick with us. Baby, I'm ready to go.
Strikeouts are boring. Besides that, they're fascist. Throw some ground balls. More democratic.
Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. I am your guest host this afternoon. My name is Dan Schaefer. I am the founder of the Recombobulation Area. Thank you so much for joining us. If you want to find any of my work at the Recombobulation Area, you can go find us on Substack and become a subscriber. Become a free subscriber and get everything, pretty much everything, sent to you in your inbox. Or you can become a paid subscriber and help support the work that we do, covering all kinds of things, news and politics related in Milwaukee and Wisconsin. One of the things that I do a whole lot of at the Recombobulation Area is take a look at campaigns and races in the state assembly and state senate. And this year is especially interesting for that because we have new maps in the state of Wisconsin. For the first time in more than a decade, we are going to see candidates running on fairer maps. And I think that's a really encouraging thing. And I think it is encouraging more and more competition in these races as well. My friend John Johnson over at Marquette University did a breakdown on this over the past few days, talking about how we have more competitive primaries in the state of Wisconsin under new maps in more than a decade. And so we've been talking to some of the candidates running in what I think is one of the more interesting primaries in the state assembly race this for the August partisan primary, the race for the 14th assembly, the new 14th assembly district, which is going to change a little bit. Current Representative Robin Vining was drawn into the 13th. She's running as a Democrat there, making the 14th and kind of an open seat here. And so we talked to Nathan Kiso in the first hour of the show, and now we are joined by Brady Coulthard. Sorry, I messed that up again, didn't I? Correct me on the pronunciation of your last name.
It is Brady Coulthard.
Brady Coulthard, who is running for the 14th Assembly District. Thanks for joining the show, Brady.
Absolutely. Glad to be here.
So first, tell me a little bit about your background and why you decided to run for this seat.
I grew up in Clark County in a union household. My mom was a waitress turned small business owner, and I never really thought I was going to be involved in politics. Wasn't my thing. I did know that I wanted to go to college, and because of that, I worked at a pharmacy for 5 years. Throughout high school and getting into my first semester of college, I wanted to be a pre-pharmacy major and become a pharmacist. So I saw a lot about healthcare and healthcare injustices as well, people and not being able to pay their medications, insulin, etc. And then the Parkland shooting happened on February 14th, 2018. And that really shook me, honestly. My first niece, Quinn, she was entering elementary school that year as I was graduating high school. And all I could really think about was what was safety going to look like for her as a brand new preschooler. And there were so many answers we didn't know. And lockdown drills began to happen. And it just was nerve-wracking to me that the state legislature wasn't really taking any action on this. They didn't take action on Medicaid expansion when that came through either. And I was frustrated. Now, there was a group at the time called March for Our Lives that really took the potential of young people who were upset about gun violence in their communities and activated their potential. So I got involved with March for Our Lives at that time and organized a walkout and have been involved in Democratic politics ever since. I've worked on campaigns, worked for legislators working on policy, worked with the Democratic Party. I'm a former Governor Evers appointee to the Higher Educational AIDS Board as well. All at the age of 24, I have over 6 years of experience working at the local, state, and federal level. Now we have new maps that I'm so excited about, and it allows us to have a new opportunity of what Wisconsin can look like next year, in 5 years, in 20 years. And I think we have to seize that opportunity and use it well. So that's why I got into this race. It's really not about me. It's about making sure our community has a strong representative that has the values of Wisconsin in mind and really looking forward to how we can deliver best for future generations.
Now you're on the ground campaigning in this district, like we've mentioned throughout the show here, just a couple of weeks before that August 13th partisan primary. I think, you know, this district encompasses an area that I think is certainly going to be in focus for statewide elections. And, you know, as we saw last week with a visit from Kamala Harris to West Dallas Central High School, it's a part of the state that's going to get some national attention, too. So when you're out on doors, what are some of the things that you're hearing from voters that are relevant to them in this campaign?
Absolutely. And thank you for bringing up the national aspect of this race as well. The state assembly race, it's a pretty Democratic district, so whoever wins the primary will very likely win the general.
At least be the favorite, you know.
Very likely. But on the national side, there's been a lot of attention in terms of bringing down vote totals for the Democratic side on the presidential ticket and the U.S. Senate ticket. So I think it's really important to have a strong assembly candidate post-primary who's going to keep working for the top of the ticket. Now, when I'm talking to voters, I'm definitely hearing that we need to save our schools. Public education is the number one issue that comes up. There's a lot of teachers who live in the district. And for a long time, we have not been adequately funding our public schools, and we've been sending it to referendum. The West Dallas West Milwaukee School District will have a referendum in November. It's very important that passes. But again, constituents are upset that they even have to vote for their public schools via referendum when the state has that responsibility and should be fulfilling that responsibility in the first place. So that is definitely the number one issue I hear about. Now, they also agree with me that great schools are only great if they're safe. So there is a concern about ending gun violence and promoting responsible gun ownership. Also taking a look at the domestic violence crisis that is in West Dallas. We don't really talk about that a lot because no one's really having the conversation of solutions. We just name the problem and walk away from it. So that is a secondary issue under safety. The third thing that I really care about and is vastly been told to me at the doors as well is healthcare. And that includes abortion care and protecting that right as well. So expanding Medicaid is a top priority of mine, including a public option with that. and also making sure we're protecting abortion care and all reproductive rights.
We're talking with Brady Coulthard, who is one of the candidates running for assembly in the new 14th assembly district. Where, you know, before I let you go here, there are a number of Democrats running for the seat. Like you said, this is a blue leaning district within Milwaukee County. What's something that you feel differentiates you and your campaign from the others running on the Democratic side here for the primary?
Look, when Governor Evers signed these new maps into law, there's a potential we flip the assembly or we even get close to a 50-50. Like, it's going to be tight in the assembly. And that means that we're going to have to work together and build collaboration. I have over 6 years of experience working at the local, state, and federal level in politics. And I've built a lot of relationships. So while I'll have a lot to learn going to Madison, I won't be a new face in that room. I think that will be extremely helpful for getting things done. And that's what I plan to do as a legislator. I'm proud to have the endorsement of over 30 local leaders in West Allis, Wauwatosa, and Milwaukee, the three municipalities in the district. And I think that speaks to exactly what kind of leader we need in this district. And that's where we're headed.
Well, thank you so much for being here and talking a little bit about your campaign. Again, this is a race for the 14th Assembly District, West Allis, Wauwatosa, Milwaukee County. This is a really important race, and I think it's going to be really interesting when, you know, we pull up the results on August 13th. This will certainly be one I'm looking to first. So, Brady, thank you so much for being here, and best of luck in the final stretch for your campaign.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. We will be back with another interview with another candidate running in the 14th. Angelito Tenorio will be joining us after the break here. Stick with us on the Maggie Dawn Show. We'll be right back.
Good luck. We're all counting on you.
Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. My name is Dan Schaefer. I am your guest host this afternoon. Thank you so much for joining us. We had a busy last couple segments here at the show. We talked to Nick Ramos of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. He was telling us a little bit about their positions on the two constitutional amendments that are going to be on the August 13th ballot. He also was telling us a little bit about a Get Out the Vote event that they are hosting with MATC and a number of other groups like Souls to the Polls and League of Women's Voters tomorrow in downtown Milwaukee. Encourage you to check that out. Tomorrow is the first day of early voting, so that is a good time to be engaged on the issues here in Wisconsin. We also just talked to Brady Coulthard, who is running in the 14th Assembly District. He is in the Democratic primary. We've been talking to three of the candidates today in that Democratic primary, and joining us as the third candidate joining us during the show today is Angelito Tenorio, who is one of the Democratic candidates running for the 14th Assembly District. Angelito, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Dan. It's great to be here on the Maggie Dawn.
Thank you so much. And so, while we're having a little audio issue here, first, could you just tell us a little bit about your background and why you decided to run in this race?
Yes, Dan, thank you. I'm proud to be a candidate for State Assembly District 14. I'm a progressive Democrat seeking this office, and a big part of my story is being the son of Filipino immigrants. Parents came from the Philippines to Wisconsin, to West Allis, in hopes of finding a better life, and they did. Grew up in a union home in West Allis, and early on instilled the values of giving back and serving others. And that's really what drives me with this campaign for State Assembly, my experience and my work in public service. I've served in the Wisconsin Army National Guard. I've also served on the West Allis City Council, and now running for State Assembly to make more change in our community, advocating for good paying union jobs, fighting climate change, at protecting our environment, expanding access to healthcare and affordable housing. Really just making District 14, making West Allis the best it can be for all people.
Well, that's great. Yeah, I think this is such an interesting district, and I think that's why I wanted to focus on it today. You know, the vice president was in West Dallas less than a week ago, talking to voters there in her first official campaign rally. So I think, you know, some of what, you know, folks like you and the others running in this race are hearing when you're out campaigning on doors, you know, not only is this really important to it for this particular race, it's important for the statewide race. It's important for the presidential race. So what are some of the things that you are hearing directly from voters as you're getting out and campaigning in this race?
Yes, right before I jumped on the show, I was knocking doors talking to voters. And some of the big things people care about are public safety, making our communities safer, making our communities healthier. People really care about cost of living, affordable housing. People also really care about our small businesses. West Dallas, having such a rich history of being a working class community, really got screwed over when manufacturing left many years ago. But now we're having a resurgence of small businesses coming to West Dallas, mom and pop shops, and really diversifying what our economy looks like. And a lot of new development and redevelopment, reinvestment in our community, that's something people really care about and moving forward as a community together. People really care about our public schools, access to a high quality public education in West Dallas, especially with the upcoming referendum for the West Dallas, West Milwaukee School District in November. So people really care about investing in our communities and making sure that our kids and our teachers and that our future generations have access to the best opportunities moving forward. And as you mentioned, people know, Democrats, national leaders, state leaders know how important West Dallas, how important Milwaukee County is, especially the surrounding suburbs, including West Dallas, as we trend blue, as we trend progressive, and how important it is to show up in our community. And that's also a big, big reason why I'm in this race, because it's important that we take the fight everywhere, that we show up, that we knock on doors, and that we meet people where they're at and listen to their concerns and advocate for change together.
Yeah, you've been there in West Dallas to witness a lot of, you know, if you take a kind of a step back and look at the larger map, you know, a lot of people were talking about changes in the WOW counties in the state of Wisconsin, right? They're talking about, you know, Waukesha starting to not be quite as deep red, Waukesha County not being as quite as deep red as, you know, when I was in high school growing up in Waukesha County, and there was a Bush-Cheney sign in every single yard in our subdivision. A little bit less so now when I go back to visit my old neighborhood. But in West Dallas, I think you've been able to witness some of that change. You talked about serving on the city council there. You know, what from your vantage point, what do you think is part of driving some of this shift in West Dallas that's made it a more of a Democratic leaning community than it was in years past?
Right. I think it's bold, progressive leadership. In the past, I've lived in West Dallas my whole life. In the past, West Dallas has seen that conservative policies have not worked for our community. And it's working class cities like West Dallas that have been disproportionately harmed by conservative policies, by Republican leadership in the state and across the country. So people really want change and progress. Because I grew up hearing Dirty Dallas and all of like the negative connotations, the negative reputation that West Dallas has had. So people are really looking for like progressive forward change in our community. And a big part of that is like making sure that we have leadership and representation, both at City Hall and in the state capitol, fighting for our communities to push us forward, to be a more inclusive, to be a more diverse, to be a more equitable community as well. Because when my parents came to West Dallas, we were one of the few families of color in our community, right? And it wasn't always easy being in the minority. But now we're seeing with the new investment and interest in West Dallas in District 14, there are a lot more young families moving here. There are a lot more good-paying jobs that people are moving here for. There are a lot more people trying to buy houses here in our community, setting up shop, because they're seeing that we're having our own little renaissance in West Dallas, in every part of our city, in every part of District 14. So I'm really running to continue to build on that momentum and continue to make West Dallas and District 14 a stronger community for everyone.
That's great. I like that West Dallas Renaissance. So we could come to West Dallasance. Could we try that, Brian? What do we think?
Stalasance. Welcome to the Stalasance.
The Stalasance. Maybe I'm reaching a little bit there. I don't know. There's something there though, isn't it? Maybe a little bit.
The Stalas' new palace. I don't know.
We'll keep working. If you have
thoughts, I
gotta
work on this one.
If you have thoughts, join the show. Give us a call. We are of course taking calls throughout the show. So 855-75-CIVIC. Call or text 855-752-4842. We are joined this segment here by Angelito Tenorio, who is one of the three Democratic candidates running for the new 14th Assembly District. And just to step back on the history of this, so the 14th is currently represented by Robin Vining, who was drawn into the new 13th District. So the 13th will have two incumbents running against each other, Robin Vining and Tom Mikulski. Actually, I think TBD on that, because I think there is a primary on the Republican side for that one. But that means the 14th is an open seat, and that's the district that you're running for here, that we've been talking to some of the other folks running here. So what do you feel like, you know, differentiates your campaign from some of the others that are running in this? Obviously, you know, you're all Democrats, so there's a lot of, you know, perhaps you have a lot in common. But what does differentiate you from some of the other folks running in this race?
Right. I appreciate the question, Dan. I think what separates me from my opponents, and I'm running a positive values-based campaign, coalition building, but what I do think separates me from my opponents in this Democratic primary is my background and my experiences. I have the deepest roots in this community. I grew up in West Dallas. I grew up in District 14. And I have a long track record of public service as well from my time serving the Wisconsin Army National Guard, really driven by my values of service to community and duty and giving back to others. To my time on the West Dallas Common Council, I have firsthand experience working with neighbors, with elected officials, with alder persons, the mayor, business leaders, community members, to organize and make change, to push our community, to push our city forward to be better. And I've also done a lot of work in environmental advocacy and climate action, worked for an organization called Wisconsin Conservation Voters, who did a lot of work on clean energy, clean drinking water, and healthy democracy as well. And now working in education, in childcare at a nature school in Milwaukee called Tiny Green Trees. I work with kids every single day about protecting the environment, being connected with the outdoors, and appreciating nature. And honestly, I'm running in this race for the kids that I work with every day, right? To make our world the best it can be for us today and for future generations. Because I truly believe one of my big values is leaving the world better than we found it. And that's a big part of why I'm running in this race, to continue to push on the issues, to be a progressive champion for West Dallas, for District 14, to advocate for healthcare, public schools, workers, immigrants, and affordable housing and healthcare, childcare as well, working together and collaborating to push forward and make a difference for the better.
You know, so for those of our listeners who might not be coming from out of state or listening from, you know, Madison or a number of different places across the Civic Media Network, why are these issues that you're, you know, focused on in West Dallas, why are those relevant to the rest of the state as well?
Right. No, I really appreciate the question. I think one of the big things in this race and across Wisconsin is that it's such a pivotal moment for District 14 and the whole state of Wisconsin and our country, with Wisconsin being the swingiest of swing states and even West Dallas being a swing city at times. Like, it's so important that we fight for these issues, because these are winning issues. Advocating for healthcare, for affordable housing, for climate action, for environment, public schools, for labor unions and working families. These are winning issues. And they not only have implications for the people of District 14, but for people across the state. We have a real chance of flipping the state assembly. And even if we don't, if we get close to flipping the assembly, the legislature, like, Republicans will have to work with us, right? Because our maps are fairer than they used to be, because we've gotten rid of the worst gerrymandered maps in Wisconsin, we have a real chance of being able to go on the offensive on these issues. Because for the past decade, if not longer, Assembly Democrats have been playing defense. But now if we get close to flipping the Assembly, and if we flip it especially, we can really make transformational change in Wisconsin.
That's the possibilities of that is just so unique in the, for this year's election, because I, you know, as I've talked about throughout the show here, I preview every last race on the ballot in the Wisconsin state legislature, and going into that, I'm starting to get a little bit of the work done for that preview as we're looking ahead here. And it's such a different landscape than it ever has been in the last couple cycles that I've been writing this preview, but for the last decade plus for the state of Wisconsin. There are more competitive races up and down the ballot. That's going to be the case in November. That's also the case in August. And this race that we've focused on today in the 14th Assembly District is just one of many examples. There are more competitive primaries in the August primary in the state of Wisconsin than there has been in more than a decade. So whether it's something like this in the 14th, which I think is a really interesting race, or, you know, there's a whole lot across the state. I think there's actually even more competitive partisan primaries, competitive primaries on the Republican side than on the Democratic side. So that's something to keep aware of as well, to see kind of where voters are in this primary going into election season in, like you said, the swingiest of swing states here in the state of Wisconsin. So, Angelito, thank you so much for joining us here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Network today. And good luck with the last couple weeks here of campaigning before the primary.
Sounds great. Thank you so much, Dan. Take care.
All right. We will be talking more after the break for the final stretch of the show here. I am Dan Schaefer, filling in for Maggie Dawn. Thank you so much for joining us. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Good luck. We're all counting on you.
Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. I am Dan Schaefer. I have been your guest host this afternoon on the Civic Media Network. We've had a great show today. We've talked to three of the Democratic candidates running for the 14th, running in the primary for the 14th Assembly District. We've also been talking about the constitutional amendments that will be on the ballot. And why? Well, we have it's been a very discombobulating news cycle for the past month here in the state of Wisconsin, but these things never slow down. So we got to be aware of what's coming next. What's coming next here in Wisconsin is we've got this August 13th primary, and early voting, early in-person absentee voting starts in Wisconsin tomorrow. I think you should be voting no on the two constitutional amendments that will be on the ballot, and be sure to take a look and see what is going on in your community, up and down the ballot, in the Assembly, in the Senate. There are more races happening in the Assembly and Senate, more competitive race primaries happening than any time in the last decade or more. So be aware of what's going on there. A couple congressional primaries that are particularly interesting too. But then we've got, you know, there's been a little bit of news, Brian, over the past month or so on the top of the ticket in the presidential race.
I've heard some things.
You've heard some things. Well, you know, a month ago, I was at a rally in Madison on July 5th with President Joe Biden.
That was 2 years ago.
That in political news cycle time, it sure feels like 2 years ago. And it was less than a week ago that I was at the Kamala Harris rally in West Dallas. And I must say, being at both of those rallies, the energy there was just night and day. And I think we're still kind of, to a certain extent, in the honeymoon period with Kamala Harris taking over as the name at the top of the ticket for the Democrats in this campaign. But boy, is the energy different right now. And we've seen some of the early polling come in on the, you know, Harris-Trump matchup. And I think this is going to be a much more competitive presidential race than maybe we thought it would be even just like 2 weeks ago. And so we've got more news to look ahead to with that as well. We've got the Democratic National Convention happening in Chicago in August. We've also got, you know, kind of the big topic right now seems to be on the vice presidential, the debate over who will be Kamala Harris's running mate. And we talked about this a little bit early in the show. If you have thoughts on who you think the running mate should be for Kamala Harris, give us a call, 855-75-CIVIC. You know, I think overall, if you take a step back at some of the names that have been talked about, it's a pretty good list. I think there are a lot of terrific VP candidates that would be a good complimentary piece on the ticket with Kamala Harris. Governor Tim Walz in Minnesota has gotten a lot of attention. Andy Beshear from Kentucky, Josh Shapiro, Pennsylvania. So, Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg has been a name that's been talked about a lot. Brian, are there any names jumping out to you just yet?
Mark Kelly seems pretty much ironclad and awesome. Also a swing state. Beshear is an interesting thought. A couple things. Luke pointed out to me that Andy Beshear being the Democratic governor is what is keeping Mitch McConnell chained to his desk, because he can't just retire or walk away, because Andy Beshear would, because of Kentucky's laws, would be the person who names the replacement for Mitch McConnell. And that would just be amazing if McConnell couldn't do it, but Beshear would have to go and, oh, that'd be so good. But anyway, Beshear is kind of like a checkmate on Mitch McConnell. So moving him out of office may not necessarily,
they would be able to have the lieutenant governor, Democratic lieutenant governor, would be able to take over for the rest of the term.
One would hope.
Yes.
Yeah. I have some sound of Beshear. It's fun because he was talking about J.D. Vance with Caitlin Collins and just had a couple quick one-liners I just wanted to share with you guys. Pretty cool.
J.D. Vance is a phony. He's fake. I mean, he first says that Donald Trump is like Hitler, and now he's acting like he's Lincoln. I mean, the problem with J.D. Vance is he has no conviction, but I guess his running mate has 34.
Ha! Zing. Yeah, you know, all these vice presidential candidates, they really have a great contrast to draw in all of these, you know, kind of audition interviews that they're making on cable news or wherever the public appearance might be. The contrast with J.D. Vance is, I mean, the degree of difficulty for the Democratic candidates to look better than J.D. Vance, it's not a hard one. Like, there have been difficult challenges for Democrats over the years. Looking like a stronger candidate than J.D. Vance, maybe not one of them.
Yeah, it's not too hard, but he's just low-hanging fruit, man. I mean, how do you go and tell people, you know, your vote should count more or less than the other? It's illegal, by the way. You can't, like, do that. But he says, if you don't have kids, you should pay more in taxes. And I'm thinking, isn't it the same party who railed against people who have more kids so they can get more money? Like, you know what I mean? Like, what are you going to do? Have kids so you can have more votes? And, like, you'll have people taking ridiculous amount of pills and having, like, 40 kids just to go and have 40 votes. And they're just like, there's whole families that are blocks of votes now. What is going on?
Yeah, well, and who was the party that championed the child tax credit, which was cutting child poverty in half? That's right. It was the Democratic
Party.
It was not J.D. Vance and the Republican Party. First-term U.S. Senator J.D. Vance and the Republican Party has not reintroduced the child tax credit and passed it in Congress. You know, he'd be a swing vote. You know, maybe he wanted to put some money where his mouth is, pass the child tax credit. I bet there are a number of Democrats who would join him on that front.
Bipartisan effort.
That's right. I just saw a report come through from Axios on the Veep stakes, talking about Gary Peters, Senator Gary Peters from Michigan, emerging as a potential dark horse name as well. So I heard
Gretchen Whitmer too.
Gretchen Whitmer. You know, a lot of people in swing states. I'm sure it's a coincidence that Arizona, Pennsylvania,
no, not at all.
All these different states that are in the mix. So you know, I think this What about Tony Evers? Well, age is a question for the Democratic Party. Maybe that's a conversation they don't want to have right now. But regardless, there's a lot of terrific candidates. A lot of terrific candidates that could be joining Kamala Harris on the ticket as the vice presidential running mate. And it's going to be very interesting to follow and see where it goes. We are just wrapping things up here at the Maggie Don Show. My name is Dan Schaefer. I have been your guest host today. If you want to find me, you can find me on Twitter at Dan R. Schaefer. You can find my work at the Recombobulation Area, therecombobulationarea.news. You can become a free subscriber, become a paid subscriber, and help support our work covering news and politics in our discombobulating news cycle that we have in Milwaukee and Wisconsin. That's going to do it for us today on the Maggie Don Show. For Brian Kelly, I am Dan Schaefer. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
Democracy matters, especially when it is inconvenient.